turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Got some flowers up here. I'm glad they're in the road. I can smell them too. And I've been smelling them all day, and these guys just opened up overnight, so it's nice. But they're donated by some friends here in the church, so not saying names. But today, well, let's go ahead and open up a word of prayer first. Lord, once again, as we look to your word, may we truly see the truth that lies in this absolute truth that you provided for us. And Lord, may we truly be changed more into your image, but more importantly, realize that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, truly did conquer sin and death, provides a free gift of salvation, and not only that free gift of salvation, but that freedom that we can have as we live this life, to overcome sin in our lives, to enjoy life, to have that true peace and comfort and joy while we're here on earth until we're there in glory with you. So thank you again for your word, and just ask for your blessing upon it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, it is Resurrection Sunday. He is very much alive, and I don't want to go off too much on a tangent of trying to prove the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't need to prove him to anybody. He proves himself through his word. But it is amazing to know that this man, yet fully God, has influenced the world more than any other person. There's so much evidence that he lived, that he died. There's everything. I mean, our calendars, so many things. Even creation declares there's a God. But through all that, the world will still want to deny that he rose from the dead. The world will still want to say, here is the word of God. It's one of the most accurate history books there are. But yet we want to deny the supernatural things that God himself does, like resurrection, like the creation of the world, and so many others. So it's amazing how, even though there's so much evidence out there in creation, even though there's so much documented proof that the Lord Jesus Christ lived, that he's the most influential person that ever lived, people say that, and how good he was and what he talked about. But yet they deny the very aspect that he was God in human flesh, fully God, but yet fully man as well. And he paid our sin debt and conquered death by rising again. So I want to look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and go down through a lot of these verses, probably to about verse 22, 23. And it's called the Great Resurrection chapter, and for good reason. But today I want you to think about a question. Is Christ alive in you? One, to the unbeliever, in order when you leave this earth, if Christ is not in you, if you are not in Christ, you step out into a Christless eternity. The only thing that you'll probably see of the Lord Jesus Christ is when you stand before him in judgment. But we as believers, we know, being in Christ, that we have an eternity with him. But is he really alive in you today? Are you allowing him to dwell in your whole being? Are you allowing him access to everything that you have so that you can truly enjoy the life that he's provided you, this new creation that you are? So starting here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, verse 1, I'm going to read 1, 3, and 4, and I'll come back to verse 2. But moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to Scriptures. Here we have Paul again making one of his comments, fairly unique to him. It says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached. Remember, Acts 2:25, the nation of Israel, when Peter went forth and was preaching in Acts chapter 2, he had a special message to preach. The resurrected Lord, their king, their hope, that one day that they're looking forward to him sitting on the throne of David, ruling and reigning. That promise that they made to them, the sitting on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes. They had this wonderful promise. But then you always see Paul saying about, I preached unto you my gospel. And we see in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 8 that he makes a mention. Let me just read that actually so I don't misquote it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, He says, "Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel." So Paul shares a lot of unique information we can only get from him to truly enjoy what the resurrected Lord means to us, what our God, who is alive forevermore, means to us. Part of that is, I ask that question to those who don't know the Lord. You're not sure where you're going when you leave this earth. The Lord Jesus Christ made it simple, and you're going to see these truths as we progress out through this chapter. But the truth that you're confronted with today is that the Lord Jesus Christ truly did die for your sins according to Scriptures. And then not only was he buried, but then he rose again the third day. And that simple faith in his finished work provides that salvation that's so rich and free. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It truly is that gift of God. And I hope that becomes real to you. So as we go through this chapter, you can honestly make a decision today, knowing Christ did love you so much that he died for you and rose again for you. But verse 2, we see here as believers, when I said it asked for us, is Christ alive in you today? Because we know that we know where we're going. We have a home in heaven. One day we will be completely removed from this presence of sin and death for good. We know that we've been free from that penalty of sin. But today we also have power over sin, that we can live and enjoy life in Christ, serving him, worshiping him, and doing that which is good. Whereas before we couldn't live righteous, but now we can. It says, "By which also ye are saved," in verse 2. "If you keep in memory which I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Just because you see the word save or salvation doesn't mean this is talking about your salvation of your soul. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 is another example of what's going on here. 1 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 16, I think it is. Yes, 4:16. "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Now remember, at the beginning of this chapter he said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in later times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." He continues on talking about, you know, people not accepting meats that which God hath created and ye have received with thanksgiving. You can eat. But all these different things and different false doctrines and telling you should do this and not that. And what's Paul say here at the end? "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing so thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee." But salvation just from this life, salvation from those that want to tell you you have to live this way, you've got to be under the law again. No, we're under grace. And because we are, we are at liberty. We're not bound by that fear or that debt or that sin burden hanging over our heads. And now we can just live for the Lord Jesus Christ. But in that is not just salvation of our souls, but the salvation to truly live for the Lord and often experience the hope that we're now going to start looking at. So now here in verse 5, the witness of a resurrected Lord, and that he was seen of Cephas, Peter, then of the 12, and that he was seen above, what, 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have fallen asleep. So there are some that have already left this earth, but most of them are still alive at this time, that have witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And after that, he was seen of James, and then of the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, one of born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was in me, or was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so we believe. So Paul does give an account that there are eyewitnesses that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive. The tomb is empty. And again, not to stray too far off the word of God, but the tomb truly is empty. We see in the word of God that soldiers, they kind of passed out in fear when they saw the angels. They took money, the lie, to say, "Oh, the disciples stole the body." And the word of God says, even to this day, that's what a lot believe. Or maybe, well, there's a lot of them. I don't want to get carried away. But the fact remains, how easy would it have been when you had Rome, the elite fighting machine of the day, where no one would defy them? The leaders of Israel wanted that body to stay dead. They wanted it to stay in the tomb. So they asked Rome to protect it. They didn't get up and go out themselves. Why? Because they knew what Rome is like. They knew what these soldiers were like, how strong they were, how fit they were, how dedicated they were to Rome. They knew that if they didn't obey, they would lose their life. So when they were told to guard that tomb, seal it, they did. And they were satisfied, the leaders, that didn't want that body to rise again the third day. But yet it did. And the reason why they wanted that tomb guarded was because it would be twice as bad as what it was before for them. If this God that they said was the Messiah would raise again, it would be far worse for them. So they wanted it protected. And how easy it would have been just to say, oh, here's the body of Jesus Christ, to completely shut up Christianity once and for all. And they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it at all. I guarantee you they looked. I guarantee you they tried all that they could to find a body that resembled it, but they couldn't. But so the fact remains is there are witnesses. The tomb is empty. So let's look at what this means to us. These following verses are going to be kind of, I'm going to do a compare and contrast to them. Verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is what? Then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not, if so be that the dead rise not. So basically saying, here we are today, preaching the risen Lord. He is alive. Our whole faith revolves around that fact that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Yes, he did die according to our sins, but if he never would have rose, it would have all been for naught. He could have lived a sinless, perfect life, and it would have all been for naught. It says our preaching and our faith would be vain. It would be empty. So instead of an empty tomb, today we would have an empty faith with nothing in it. No grounds to stand on, only lies and deceit and misinformation and hypocrite and all these different things. Why do I say that? Look over to John chapter 20. Resurrection is so important. So as we look through these, and we'll do a compare and contrast. Not Acts. I need to go to John chapter 20. John 20, verse 17. John 20, 17 says this. Now this is Mary Magdalene coming. Jesus saith unto her in verse 16, Mary, she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say master. So she's probably coming at him. They hug him or fall at his feet, you know, just out of love, like, yes, you're alive. But Jesus saith unto her, touch me not. Why? Because he says this, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go unto my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. So touch me not, for I am not ascended unto my Father. Why do I bring that verse up? Turn over to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Definitely a different sound when there's not many people in the congregation with their Bibles turned. So Hebrews chapter 9 here. I'll start here in verse 11. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, or blood of bulls, yes, and of goats and of ashes and heifers sprinkling the unclean sanctify the puring of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to the serving living God? And I don't want to read the whole chapter. I'm going to read some more here. But the fact is, what happened? The high priest, once a year, priests all the time were doing sacrifices. But once a year, they had to go in. Every year, year after year, with the blood of animals because they were innocent. Man wasn't. They had to offer that for sin. But here you have the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 24, for Christ is not entered into the holy places. Remember, Christ said, touch me not, because he what? He had to ascend to the Father. And here's why. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So that morning, when Mary got to see him, probably the first, touch me not, and ascend unto the Father. Why? Because the resurrection, our faith is not in vain. Everything stands on the resurrection of Christ. If he would have came, lived a sinless life, shed his innocent blood for us, but never rose from the dead to present that perfect sacrifice himself before God the Father, then what good is it? What good would it have been? Not just the fact that then Christ would have been a false teacher, he wouldn't have been God because he didn't rise from the dead, but our whole faith that stands on this absolute forgiveness of sins, this whole faith that stands that we become a very new creature, new creation, forever his, would go down the drain. So that's important. And he continues on saying, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Like we just said, Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. If Christ would have never arose from the dead, presented himself as that perfect sacrifice between God the Father, we would still be yet in our sins. We would have never had a payment for our sins. We have been going through this whole world knowing that the wages of sin is death. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We know we can't work for it. We can't stand before God saying, I'm a 51-49 person. I did more good, more bad. You must accept me. No. God could only have accepted something perfect, something holy, an absolute payment for sin. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, did. So we would still yet be in our sins. The wages of sin is death. At the end of this life, we have a paycheck at the end of this life if we don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a paycheck that says, here is your wage. It's death. So when you die this physical death, you'll step into an eternity of death, a separation from the Lord Jesus Christ. But Christ is risen. He is risen from the dead. Payment has been made. So by simple faith, that what we said here, that just that simple faith that, one, Christ died for your sins according to Scripture. He was buried and that he rose again according to Scripture. 2 Corinthians verse 5 here, verse 21. After God was reconciling the world unto himself. How? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. To wit, that God was in Christ. But here at the end it says, verse 21 of 2 Corinthians 5 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. That righteousness of God is that simple faith, like Romans chapter 3 says, that the very righteousness of God is what? It's without the law, but it's manifest how? Here it is. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, his faithfulness, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his shed blood for our sins. The very righteousness is upon all and unto all them that believe, for there is no difference. It's that simple faith in that fact that when we leave this world, then our wages, our paycheck is cashed in already. The Lord Jesus Christ paid for our death. So now we're eternally his. So if Christ be not raised and your faith is in vain and ye are yet in your sins, but you know what? Christ did rise. Then they also, which have fallen asleep in Christ, have perished. Another reason why we celebrate the resurrection is those who have gone before in the faith, that have left this world, are what? For nothing. There was a famous scientist, apparently, that said that you'd be just like a piece of computer hardware, that when it's outdated, you just toss it in the trash. but it's not true. Them that also fall asleep are in Christ are perished. No, because he's risen from the dead, what? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we know that absent from this body is what? Will be present with the Lord. Paul even was so happy. I mean, he looked forward to that day. So much so that in Philippians chapter 1, he said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You know, when I ask that question about for us as believers, is Christ really alive in you? When you walk with the Spirit, when you walk in his word, the more and more that becomes real in your life, the more and more his word, the Holy Spirit witnesses with you of who you are, what the Lord's doing in your life. And you could be like Paul, being so happy, looking forward to that day, knowing that for me to live is Christ right now, but to die is gain. He says, I am a strait betwixt two. You know, he wants to depart, because to depart would be what? To be with Christ, which is far better. But thankfully, he also saw the need to stay here, to serve the Lord, to love us, and to share truth with us. But the word of God says, if Christ didn't raise, what would happen? Then all those that have fallen asleep in Christ are truly perished. They're done. They're gone. No hope, no nothing. If this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And how true that would be if Christ did step out of glory, led a perfect life, was this good man that the world will admit lived, that he was this awesome man. A good man, taught good things, good morals, that he actually did live and actually did get crucified innocently. But if he never would have rose again, we would be men most miserable. Why? Because everything we compared and contrast would have been true. We would have had no hope whatsoever. Our faith would be vain, empty, meaning no hope. Not at all. But then Paul, after we already started doing some compare and contrast, he says, but now. Why is it a but now? Because that's what it would have been. But now, as this day we set aside, Resurrection Sunday, Easter, but now Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them which slept. 1 Timothy 1:1 says that what? Who is the hope? The Lord Jesus Christ is the hope. He's our hope. And in him, when we backtrack through all this, in him we have hope of eternal life. In him we have hope we will see loved ones again that have gone on before us. In him we have that hope that we have true forgiveness of sins because he's alive. For as in Adam all die, even so Christ shall all be made alive. Philippians chapter 3, if you want to turn there. I just realized I don't know if I gave you enough time to flip to the other passages I've been making mention of. Philippians chapter 3, 21. Paul makes a comment, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that they are Christ that is coming. Philippians 3, 20 and 21 says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for that Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby we are able to subdue all things unto himself. One day we will be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Whereas he wouldn't have raised, all those have gone before, no hope. But we do have a hope. Remember we had read in our scripture reading that the Lord Jesus Christ appeared, and then he appeared somewhere else, and then he appeared over here. Imagine what it would be like to have a body like his glorious body. That would be fashioned like unto his glorious body. That would be pretty amazing. And that's another hope that we have. Because he was raised, we will be raised. A chapter that I go to quite often, but Romans chapter 6. God, it says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, being buried with him in baptism into his death, and like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. Why? For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And why that's so reassuring is the verses before that talk about that because of the Holy Spirit, we've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. Colossians 2 makes it clear that it wasn't by our hands, it wasn't by man's hands, man's ways, but it was by a spiritual baptism, a spiritual circumcision, that we were fully identified by the faith and operation of God, identified in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That, I know we made mention Friday night, but that, to me, is amazing. Because not only does that supply an eternal life for you that's free, by simply believing the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, that it's free. But also because God did the identifying, God's the one that imputed that very righteousness. God's the one that identified us in his death, his burial, his resurrection. That when God the Father sees his Son, he sees us. That is special. And I'm so glad that we didn't have to work for it. We didn't have to maintain it because what? We fail. We screw up. That's why the Word of God says there's none righteous, no, not one. That's why the Word of God says, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. But when we look to God's word, friend, if you're an unbeliever, you don't know him, the word of God's been presented to you. We don't go to the world to say, let's see what archaeology says, let's see what this ancient document says, or this or that. We go to God's preserved word. That's the only truth we need, because the Holy Spirit will use us through his word to get through to you. And right now he's saying, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That one man that was fully God yet fully man stands between you and God. That man's the Christ Jesus, that one mediator. No other man, no other woman, no other thing. He's the only God that's alive. He's the only God that says, I did it all. I paid the ultimate price. No other faith, no other religion will tell you that. There's works, there's something involved that you have to do to maintain or achieve. When our God, who did it all out of pure love for us, the God of all love, the only God, he died for us, shed his innocent blood for us, and conquered death and offers that free gift to you. But also that same identification that he does for us as believers, we can come to this great resurrection chapter. When we see these compare and contrast, saying about if he wouldn't have raised from the dead, our faith would truly be empty, it would be worthless. But yet Christ is risen from the dead, and he's become the firstfruits of them that slept. One day we will be absolutely out of the presence of sin, out of the presence of death. We will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we were to leave today, we'd be with him. But there's still something missing. There is a point in time where we'll receive a glorified body. When will that happen? When will we truly be complete in Christ? Meaning we'll have our spiritual body that's fashioned just like his. At the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 here, Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall now all sleep. Remember, Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm the resurrection and I'm the life. There is also the resurrection of life, the resurrection of death. Damnation. But here we see something different that's not the second coming of Christ, something that never before revealed again for the church, the body of Christ, a mystery, a secret coming that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. When we leave this earth to go and be present with the Lord, we still yet don't have our bodies. We left the corruptible body behind, and we're before the Lord, our soul. But one day, we will receive an immortality, an immortal body, because this mortal must put on immortality. For when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. For some of us, we don't know when, could be any time, it could be in the next minute. But for some of us, we won't experience physical death. And at this time, the Lord Jesus Christ will bring back all those that have gone on before us. We will meet him in the air, but in that moment, in that twinkling of an eye, those will receive their bodies first. And then in that twinkling of an eye, the worst second, that we will receive that body that's fashioned like unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Then will be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing that at that time, we'll be truly complete in Christ. Death, sin, is done away for the church, the body of Christ. And then we will be forever in the heavens. And then Christ will resume and pick up where he left off and finish up the death and the sin here on earth. But for us as believers today, we do have a blessed hope. We went through that today. Our Lord is alive. He is risen. He provides hope to all who will just simply believe that he did it all. And what a better way anyhow, that we don't have to work for it. Do you honestly believe you could do it? I remember a shirt, a camp shirt that we had once. And I know my wife was wearing it in the grocery store once, but the shirt said, trust and obey. But on the back, it says, do you honestly think you know better? And it's a good question. Do you honestly think that you, as a sinful man who has sinned already, come short of the glory of God, think that you can stand before a holy and righteous God and say, I know better, God. You must accept me because I mostly did good in my life. Or I kept most of the Ten Commandments or whatever the case is. No. Christ paid for that sin. All of it. He stands saying, just believe. Believe that the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood for you, rose again, was buried and rose again for you the third day. You will have eternal life. And for us believers, may we be emboldened today, even though we're apart, when we're typically together, enjoying each other in fellowship with our Lord, knowing that he is alive. He is alive. You could be utterly alone, listening right now, all by yourself in your home, no one else with you, but yet you have the Lord Jesus Christ with you. And that is a privilege that get us through even these hard times, knowing he lives with inside of me. So as we close today, I do trust that you know him as your Savior and you accepted that free gift of salvation. And for us who remain still here till we go home to be with the Lord, we have a lot of work to do. One, to be able to enjoy what the Lord's given us, but also be able to serve him in enjoying that service, of reaching out to others, especially in this hard time. Be emboldened in the Lord today. Don't feel down. Don't feel depressed. Don't feel out of sorts. You might have lost your job, but look to the Lord and be that shining example that when all the dust settles after the coronavirus and everything else going on, you can stand and say, my Lord, who is alive in me? And you ask me how I know he lives. He lives inside of me. And here I am, an example of that. Even though this or that happened, here I am, still smiling. And you can be that way too. Give it all over to the Lord. Lord, thank you again for this day that we set aside to remember your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, shed his innocent blood, died, rose again the third day, presented himself before you, truly made the payment for our sin. And now we just need to go to him and just simply believe the Lord Jesus Christ did it for me. I know I was a sinner, but the Lord Jesus Christ paid my debt. And I trust him fully in what his finished work did. And the moment we say that before you is the moment that we're truly saved and we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And we are there and we're yours, never to be separated again from your love. So thank you for that. Thank you that the resurrection capitalized and solidified everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Close.